In this podcast series, we'll examine the story of Naaman the Syrian, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. We'll see how God pursued a stranger to his covenant, broke his proud heart, and revealed himself to him. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19 is ultimately the story of the missionary heart of God, even in Old Testament times. Welcome to Light in My Path, the audio teaching ministry of F. Wayne McLeod, serving with Action International Ministries. Here in this podcast, we examine a variety of Bible topics designed to help you in your understanding of Scripture and in your walk with God. Let's move now to this week's podcast. We often think of God's heart for missions as a New Testament doctrine. In the Old Testament, we see the Jews as the chosen people of God and the Gentiles lost, for the most part, in ignorance and sin. In fact, the Jews had laws forbidding them to marry, associate with, or even enter the home of a Gentile. We read of times when God ordered, in fact, the slaughter of pagan, idolatrous Gentile nations, lest they influence his people with their evil ways. But scattered throughout the Old Testament are passages that reflect that God always had a heart for the world. And one of those passages is 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 19. And in this session, I'd like to begin by addressing the words of verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 5. Here's what they say. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor. Because of him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. We're introduced here in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, to a man by the name of Naaman. Note that he was a commander of the Syrian army. This in itself was an impressive position. Naaman had risen up the ranks and now occupied a very important position in the army. He had great responsibility and power in the nation of Syria and commanded a large number of men who had sworn by oath to obey his commands. As impressive as the title commander of the Syrian army was, 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 tells something more about him. Note that the verse tells us that he was a great man with his master and in high favor. While being a Syrian military commander was impressive enough, Naaman rose even higher than this. He was a great man with his master. The Hebrew word used here for great in the Old Testament speaks of the greatness of God and his mighty works. But it can also be used to speak of very influential and powerful leaders. Naaman rose above other military commanders in influence and ability. He was Syria's most capable commander. The verse also tells us that he was also in high favor with his master. Now, the master spoken of here is the king of Assyria. Notice the use of the word, of the phrase, high favor. In other words, it wasn't just that he was a capable person. He was a national hero and treasure. Naaman had the admiration and favor of the king himself. The king highly valued this man, Naaman, and to lose him would be to lose his right arm. The king would do anything to protect and keep him. He was of immense value to them as a nation. Notice next in the verse that Naaman was valued because he was a mighty man of valor. The word valor here in the language, in the original language, implies strength and influence. He was a man who knew how to handle himself in warfare and politics. He was a skilled and capable leader and an inspiration to those who served under him. He led his people into victory through his brave and skillful command of the army and by his example. Notice, however, where this valor came from in the phrase, "By him the Lord had given victory to Syria." He was a great man and highly favored because by him the Lord God of Israel had given victory to Syria. The source of Naaman's influence and power was the Lord God of Israel. Notice how verse 1 tells us that God gave a Syrian military commander victory. How those words must have ruffled the feathers of the Jews of that time. How could God work on behalf of a Syrian military commander? Syria was an enemy nation. Yet here in this verse, in verse 1, we see how God is strengthening and empowering Naaman the Syrian. Behind the scenes, God is working in very strange ways. Foreigners to the covenant of God were experiencing his hand of grace. God was moving in pagan nations. He was touching enemies to his people. They were experiencing God's strengthening. They didn't look like or talk like Israel, but the same God was touching and moved through them. Now, understand here that Naaman was not an Israelite. He didn't worship the God of Israel. He didn't bring sacrifices to him or walk in his ways. When the Syrians looked up to Naaman, they didn't see the God of Israel. Naaman receives the credit. He walked down the street with his head held high. Soldiers would salute him. People admired and respected him. Even the king held him in high regard. And that was because of the God of Israel and the fact that he was with him. But nobody considered that. They just saw Naaman. While the God of Israel was working in his life, Naaman didn't recognize this. There was nobody to teach him about the God of Israel. He was not likely even interested in this at this point in his life. He was too busy being a great and favored commander. Now, not everyone in whom God works is aware of what he's doing. The Apostle Paul experienced this as an enemy to Christianity. Paul was the church's greatest enemy, but God was working in him even while he was the enemy of the church. Paul was persecuting Christians, but God was preparing him for great service. There's something very strange about the ways of God. We just don't know who he will touch. He doesn't do things as we do them. You never know where you're going to find God. And here in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1, we find him working with a Syrian military commander. And this commander was experiencing God in ways that some of the Jews had never experienced him before. You can't explain God. Way before Naaman came to know the God of Israel, the God of Israel was pursuing him. Now, there's something else we need to see about Naaman from verse 1. It's found in the phrase, "But he was a leper." Leprosy was a dreaded disease and humiliating disease. It forced the one afflicted by it to live a life of isolation. The leper was often avoided and shunned by society. In some cases, those who contracted this disease were forced to live out the rest of their lives separated from their loved ones. For many, it was a living death. There's some very strange things happening here in verse 1. God has been working with Naaman and has his hand on him. He gives him victory as a Syrian military commander. But now we see him bowed down low with leprosy. And to our human way of thinking, this makes absolutely no sense. If God wanted to use Naaman, why would he allow him to get leprosy? Doesn't God need him to be in full health to use him? And just as it perplexes us to see God move in the life of a Gentile, so now we struggle to understand why God would allow this man he chose to use and empower to contract this dreaded disease. What we fail to see right now, however, is that this dreaded disease will become the means to introduce himself to Naaman. God would use Naaman's leprosy to introduce himself to the commander. We're left to wonder, however, if there could have been a more pleasant means of introduction. But understand, however, that Naaman was a powerful military commander who rose up the ranks to become one of the most powerful and influential commanders in the nation. And you don't get to that point by being mild and unassuming. You have to step on people to get to the top. You have to have a certain type of personality to make it to the top. Now, when Paul was on his way to Damascus, God stopped him by throwing him to the ground and blinding him. Nothing less than that would do. And I dare say that God had to speak pretty loud to get Naaman's attention as well. And a bout of leprosy was about as loud as you can get. And that leprosy stripped Naaman of his independence. It had a tendency to humble the proud. It showed great leaders that there was a power greater than theirs. And it showed the strong that their life hung by a spider's thread in the hands of God. Naaman had no choice but to submit to a greater power than his. What was it like for Naaman to wake up that morning and hear that diagnosis of leprosy? How helpless did that powerful man feel that day? What was it like to be struck with the reality that he was not in control? While Naaman was a leper, that disease, however, would not take his life. It would, however, get his attention. And it would be the path that he would take to meet the God who strengthened him for battle and made him valiant. And as drastic as this was, Naaman would one day look back at the lessons learned in those days as being the most powerful lessons he had ever learned. And he would credit this event as being the most life-changing moment of his life. And he would look back one day with a heart full of thanksgiving to the God of Israel, who had given him great military might and valor, but who also got his attention in a life-changing way and introduced himself to the commander. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 1 reveals the great missionary heart of God. We see here how he empowers a great military commander from Syria. He took this untouchable man and made him real. He brought him down to earth. He humbled his pride. He captured his attention. Naaman's leprosy was a powerful instrument in the hands of God. He had experienced the mighty hand of God upon him without ever knowing him. But it was this sickness that would change everything. Leprosy took him by the hand and presented him to the God of Israel. Naaman's pride needed to be broken. His ears needed to be opened. His heart was likely so hard it could not receive what God wanted to give. His ears were likely so deaf to spiritual matters that he would not listen. But that dreaded disease changed it all. Before Naaman knew God, God was pursuing him with zeal. And what's most incredible here is that Naaman, at this point, was unaware of God's presence. All those miraculous victories were from the God of Israel, but he didn't know him. All the favor, that favor was a gift from Israel's God, but Naaman lived as if he didn't exist, and that everything was on his own merit. The day came when God chose, however, to draw near and introduce himself. And the first thing he does is afflict him with leprosy. And that leprosy was not intended to destroy Naaman. It was going to be the means by which God would capture his attention. It would be the means of humiliating a proud man. It was the battle before the victory. It was the race before the trophy. And as Joseph would say to his brothers who sold him into slavery in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Don't despise what God is doing. When he pulls out his pruning shears, you can be sure that he's looking for fruit. Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. I trust that it has been a blessing. For more information on the Ministry of Light to My Path book distribution, please visit the website at lighttomypath.ca. Thank you, and God bless.